Today's guest is Dustin Miller, the Poly Innovator, and this is one high-energy guy. His excitement is really contagious. We got to talk about the nature of habit building and knowing how to push yourself harder, but sometimes that self-awareness shows us that maybe we shouldn't be pushing harder. Sometimes we need to listen to ourselves and honor our limits so we can always be at our best. This is the second time I've talked with Dustin across all our podcasts, and he's just a cool guy who's poised to make a big impact. And he's got some cool stuff to share with you today. If you want to talk with Dustin about how to manage your content and find more about how he's doing it, find him literally anywhere online under the handle at PolyInnovator or his new website, polyinnovator.space. Let's jump into the conversation now. Yeah. I know, like, it's like we go way back. We've known each other for like all 2 weeks ago, but you just
podcasters do that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. But I think you're a cool guy, and I think you do things right. You do things the right way, and you know we're often our own worst critics. You know, So don't beat yourself up too much, man, because you're a lot better at what you're doing than what I am.
Just give it time. Maybe when you're my age.
maybe I forget. I think you're younger than me by a little bit.
A wee bit.
Just a little bit.
I don't want to drop the mic, but how are we wanting to get the whole bang started?
Oh, it's already started, my friend.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, how do we want to get things rolling even further? What's the quid pro quo, I guess you could say?
Well, I mean, I guess first thing is I just ask, like, what's your company do?
Well, Poly Innovator is a personal brand, so it's essentially just a content marketing. I don't want to say firm, but it's just I create content to provide value to people. And over time, I create content that's behind a paywall that people can pay for. And this is it's a pretty simple model that's pretty well done already. Like Seth Godin, Neil Patel, a lot of them all have their walled gardens, as they call it. And it's just one of those things where I want to create books. I want to create tons of books, actually, tons of courses as well, including an education platform that I can build those courses onto. And so that's what I do.
Very cool.
In a basic sense.
Yeah. Well, it's cool because you're talking about, I mean, you know, you mentioned Seth Godin. I mean, he like repurposes the heck out of his content, right? Like, Isn't that the guy that starts off with a blog and then he like breaks it into smaller pieces and those into smaller pieces too? And
yeah. Right?
Is that accurate? Okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's Neil Patel mainly. Seth Godin, I'm sure, probably does in his own right because he is a prolific content creator too, but he focuses more on just making. So he's made 7,600 posts over the past 16 years, something like that. 8,000. It's close to like 8,000, I think.
Oh my goodness.
Posts. And some of them are short. Like it doesn't really matter to him like what it is. And so what's interesting is that I took that philosophy because I had a guest on my show because I do a podcast, which is just interviewing people and also having solo stuff. But when I was interviewing this guy, he had a codex on his website. So almost like a Leonardo da Vinci notebook on his site kind of thing. It doesn't matter about being SEO optimized. It doesn't matter about perfection. It's just a matter of getting ideas out there and kind of journaling. And I took that and put it on my site as well. Cause I was like, you know what? I kind of already did this last year, even before I met the guy, but The way he explained it, the way he called it, the codex, I was like, this is a unique idea. It's kind of the same thing that Seth is doing. Just, he just calls it his blog. And so his is a little less formal. Some of his posts are this short. Some of them are literally like a novel. So it's just insane. The dichotomy of that.
Okay, man, that just blows me away, dude. I don't think I've done 8,000 of anything in my entire life. And this guy's making like blog posts, like 8,000 of them.
Well, and he's made probably like 20 books, I think, too. And that's the whole point. That's why I wanted to do the codex, is so that like, it builds up that habit of just writing every day. And eventually the capacity of your writing gets better. And over time you get better. And then on top of that, then your books become easier to make as well. And these are not just the only blog posts I'm going to be making. Yesterday, I made a post about Ada Lovelace, who I consider to be a polymath. She was one of the first people who actually conceptualized the modern computer. And she's totally just not recognized for the brilliant mind she is to most people.
Yeah, just kind of fades into the background. I mean, I come from a computer science background myself, and it's like that name comes up every once in a while, but then it's also like Charles Babbage, whore, blah, 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 blah. It's like, hang on, guys. Yeah. There's some really cool ladies out there. There's some really cool ladies out there. What was the name of the lady that was she was in the Navy. I'm drawing a blank on her name. Mm. But the one that made I think she made COBOL. Who was that?
I don't know. I don't know her name.
Grace Hopper.
Grace Hopper.
Okay. Yeah. She just died recently. It's kind of sad. I'm like, I would have liked to have met her. Well, how did you decide to start your company up? Like, what was it that led to you making the decision to say, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up?
Yeah. And so I think we talked a little bit on your other show about this, but I'll make sure I say it again here for a different audience, because it's essentially speaking just what I've always known that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I knew I wanted to work in business. I knew I wanted to be a CEO. And eventually I would get a little bit more ambitious and audacious, I would even say, to say I want to be a CEO of an international company driven to innovate technology and ideology. And just having that in your mindset, I tried to create a company based around that same philosophy. And it didn't quite work out per se, because I wasn't ready enough for it yet. And on top of that too, the actual execution of it wasn't great enough yet. And I think it was fine. It was a good learning experience, and it taught me how to create content, taught me how to market in the modern age and actually be a thought leader in the modern age. And so that's what I wanted to do. So the Poly Innovator as a kind of entity was made to be a thought leader in many different areas. And that's why I wanted to do it. And that's what really inspired me to keep going through the hard times.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. It's not often that people think, you know, I want to be a CEO. Like, sometimes people want to be like a business owner. They think of the sexy entrepreneur, right? But I mean, there's something different between that and being a chief executive officer. And I think it comes down to that term executive. Like, you're concerned about executing, you're concerned about doing instead of just looking the part, you know?
They have the power to change things too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's pretty neat, man. That's pretty cool hearing more about your background. I don't think we dipped into that very much in the other show about marketing. So that's cool. Well, what are some of the really big challenges, if you've got a couple that you could share about as you grow this thing organically? Like, what are some of the big challenges you've overcome?
Is first off, the whole mindset of the specialist versus polymath. And that's my ethos there, is being polymathic. That's the whole point of Poly Innovator, is to exemplify these polymathic traits. And since we live in a specialist society, that is certainly pushing things down against what I'm trying to build up. And I have noticed that there is a lot of people like us who think kind of similarly, like, okay, polymaths are important and we can actually exemplify those traits and maybe I'm polymathic. And that's my philosophy there, is to try to find people who think like that. And so the challenge is, there hasn't been that much content around polymathy. As much as you might think there is, I've seen most of it. And some people, someone literally called me hyperbolic because I said that I saw like 80% of all the content that's around polymathy online. Yeah. But when I say that, as you know, it's probably true. Like, I looked for all the terms for jack of all trades, polymath, generalist, multi-potentialite, all these different terms that mean someone who's multidisciplinary. And I literally went on Bing, Google, Reddit, Spotify, YouTube, and searched all those terms, opened up all of them in tabs. I literally had over 600 tabs open on my computer at once. I'm surprised it didn't fry, that I was just trying to dig into everything I could find on there. And I kept most of the links. And I think by the end of it, I kept around 150 links that actually were needed to be shared, but I had around 40 more that were podcasts that I forgot to keep. I need to go back and get those links for them, but the podcast too. So there's almost 200 different links there that I kept that were worthwhile, but the rest of them still had information. And it's just interesting how little there is out there. And that's one reason why I think it's kind of hard to build this out. There's not enough people looking for it just yet. Right. They don't know they need to look for it per se.
Well, I mean, some of them don't even know what it is that they're looking for, right? I mean, you try to define stuff and it's like, well, I didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, polymath, for example, like, I mean, I've got an idea in my head of what that means, but what's your definition of that term?
So there's a couple different textbook definitions, and there's some researchers who are trying to define it more, like what makes a polymath. But the basic essence is someone who has learned many things and who is interested in many things. And so people think that, okay, many things are probably like a jack of all trades, master of none. But the problem is, jack of all trades is also sometimes better than a master of one. That's how the full saying goes. Mm-hmm. And there's also this distinction between what a jack of all trades is and a polymath. And people often confuse those terms together. So to think a polymath is someone who is just kind of dabbling in many different areas. No, they are basically expert level or deep level knowledge in many different areas, because they spent the time to dig deep into those divergent interests.
Okay. All right. Very, very cool. Well, What have you learned about yourself in this journey?
We were speaking right before the call about habits, and I learned that there's a lot of aspects behind how the brain works and how your whole philosophy in life would actually impact your daily habits, and actually getting things done on a weekly basis, monthly basis, let alone daily basis, is a lot harder than we might think. And so finding out what you need. So for example, when it gets to wintertime, I start to burn out. Like I can't do very much in the wintertime. As much as I think I can the rest of the year, I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep this up all the way through the year. I end up having to take a break during December, especially when it's just getting too hard because the dreary weather, like today it's sunny. I'm feeling happy. I finally get to have the sun out. But for the most past week, it's been pretty murky and gloomy and like foggy almost in a way. And so it definitely screws up with my energies and just overall mindset and happiness. And I think it's a big deal because if you try to work through that, you're going to burn yourself out. So you got to take a rest when it's night, when it's bad, and be happy and strong and fast when it's nice.
That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. I think we end up thinking that, oh, we just got to push through it. We just got to push. That's part of the entrepreneurial ballad, right? And it's like, no, sometimes there's a type of thing that you should not push against. And what you're talking about, I've run into myself. And as you were explaining that, I'm like, dang, there have been times that I felt burnt out and maybe I shouldn't have been pushing so hard against that. You know, I'm going to have to, I'm going to think about this some and be like, are there certain times of the day or certain times of the year that I shouldn't push? If I shouldn't just like adapt or be like pound more coffee or make some chai tea or something like that and be like, just muscle through it. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should take a break. Well,
I will say too, as I'm a personal trainer, I've been teaching fitness for better half of a decade. I know there's times where you need to push yourself. Like some people just don't have the grit to push past doing an extra set of push-ups or something like that. I literally told myself I was going to do 300 push-ups one day. And this is a story I love to tell because I fell on my face three times. And I was sitting there and my max before that was 220 or 240, just depending on like what, how good I was that day or something like that. And I literally got to 240 that day and my arms were numb. Like I was on the floor and I was like, you know what? I can't push up. I just can't. I physically can't. But I told myself I'm going to do it because I know that I can do more. I know that I had the capacity to do it. But I looked at the clock. I had 15 minutes before I had to go teach a client. And I'm sitting there 15 minutes to do 60 push-ups after I've already done 240. I'm like feeling so physically exhausted. And I sat there and I was like, I'm not leaving here until I do it. And I activated my fight or flight response and got the adrenaline kicking in. And I cranked out those last 60 as if I just started over again. And so there's this really famous speaker, David Goggins. He has a story on Big Think. Well, the entrepreneur he trained has a story on Big Think that's about him. Little cycle there. But essentially the rule is the 40% rule, where when you think you're really, like when you think you're done, when you think that you're breaking down, you can't do anymore, you're usually oftentimes only 40% of the way done. Your body has a lot more capacity to move forward through it. And I know that's counterintuitive to what we were just talking about too. So we had to it's a balance. That's what I wanted to point out. It is a balance. There's certain points where you can push through. You can actually impress yourself by like, hey, maybe I can write all these posts in one day. Maybe I can get this job done, even though I feel tired. But there's also a point where you also need to think, if I do that, will it burn me out for the next 2 weeks? And my productivity in the end will be worse off because I can't do things for the next 2 weeks. Like I can sing Bohemian Rhapsody, highs and lows, but for the next 2 days, I'm not going to be able to talk.
I know, right? Oh, man. You know, I love hearing stuff about David Goggins, and I just wrote a post about him the other day. And I remember hearing that thing about the 40%. Like when you think you're just absolutely spent, yeah, you're not. You have so much more left in there. Like I remember hearing a story about a guy who I think David Goggins was staying with them for a little bit, and he made the guy do like 100 pull-ups.
Yeah, the curly hair guy, the serial entrepreneur. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but yeah.
I can't remember his name either, but I was like, dang, I can't. Now this is going to drive you nuts as a personal trainer, but I can't do a bodyweight pull-up. I can't. I can't do it clean. I can't do the hugo thing where I get up there. I can't do it. I can't picture myself doing 100 of them. And it's like, do we really have that capability? And like, how do you tap into that? I mean, you use that for your business. Like, how do you tap into that other 60%?
Well, first off, as a personal trainer, I just want to say you can do a pull-up. You just have to take time. So I don't care if you can do it fully or not. Try. And just that little micro pull, I don't think people can see me because this is audio only, but I'm raising my hands and I'm pretending I'm doing a pull-up. And all I'm doing is moving a couple inches. I'm not getting off the ground. I'm not doing anything like that. But it's activating the muscles in the right way, getting your back engaged, getting your mind thinking, I can't do this. And eventually, those inches are going to start to grow more. You're going to do more inches. And eventually, your chin's going to pass that bar. And maybe you can only do one pull-up. But my rule is, for when it comes to reps, is that it's kind of exponential. When you think something's really hard, you don't think you're going to be able to do it very much, but you can try to do it once. Try to go for three times. If you can do it once, you can do it for three times, even if it's kind of crappy. But you, at that point, you have data. Okay, I did it for three reps. I know what I need to work on. Like, maybe I'm not strong enough. I need to work on my arms. Maybe I'm not doing good enough form. That'll help me. When you do three times, as perfect as possible, then you'll know what you need to do next. And eventually you can do more and more reps. 20, 50, and 100 is the way I go about it. But it is interesting to think that just little micro reps will get you to doing those full reps. And then goes for business too. Doing the small habits will build up compound interest. And so something I talk about a lot is my poly innovation system, where we have self-education as the foundation. Like, you have to learn how to market, you have to learn how to podcast. And then you have the self-improvement, the habits and systems that you do every day. What are you doing that compounds your interest over time? And that's one reason why we're talking about earlier, the time of year, that really impacts your habits and systems. When the pandemic hit, everyone's habits went out the window, basically. And so that, you have to think about how you might be, but also how things outside of your world are impacting you as well. That's one other thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Lot to unpack there.
But. No, there is a lot to unpack. And I've been thinking about starting up another podcast that has to do with mindset and mental toughness and stuff like that. And it's like, man, I've never had somebody on three podcasts before. That'd be wild. So but when I get it going, let's do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, these are things that people, I think we've forgotten a lot over the years about how to effectively build habits. And then as business owners, it's like, bro, you got to be good at building habits. I mean, that's like all you do. You know, you build yourself a process, a system, and then you just apply that system and just keep your head on a swivel and watch what's working and what's not. But we can't afford to just slop energy all over the place and just, well, guess we're going to try something new today. You know, we gotta build habits. We don't know how a lot of times.
Well, it doesn't matter if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, CEO, your habits are very important, because if your habits are crap, your health is going to be crap. Your mindset's going to be crap. Your energy is going to be crap. And so you're going to lose your ability to actually do your job effectively too. And that's a big thing.
Yeah, it is. It's all about energy management and making sure everything from the top down works. And by the top down, I mean your brain, son.
Well, and I mentioned the poly innovation system. There's actually one last tier. So we did the self-education, self-improvement, but the last one, self-development. And I think that is the more important one once you have the other two taken care of. That's the mind, body, spirit, and emotions, and how they balance. And like you said, mindset, mind. Is your mind in the right place? Are you taking care of your emotions? Are you, like, for example, when it's gloomy out, my emotions get whack. I have to make sure I account for that, because it's going to impact my physical energy and my mental clarity as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of self-awareness. I wish I'd learned this about myself 5 years ago. I would have been on a much different path. What about you, though? Like, what do you wish someone had told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago? What would you wish you had learned?
Well, Gary Vee told this to everyone like 2 years ago, and that's when I picked it up, was that patience. Like, it's just kind of take time. Some of the people I've followed over the years, Sean Cannell from Think Media, he talks about it's a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I literally, the same person who said I was hyperbolic was saying I had no views on my channel. So how was I getting all these great people on the channel? Like, what was I promising them? It's like, I wasn't promising them anything. I just was genuinely interested in these people and having good conversations. And I think that too, the point that person made is that I had very little views. And so I essentially had very little metrics to offer these kind of people. And it's not about the metrics, because I know that I'm on the right path. And I know that at some point, some video is going to pop off, or I'm going to have a stable growth. It just depends on the YouTube algorithm and luck of the draw kind of thing. But over time, usually around 2 years, especially of consistency, basically, the algorithm starts to push you up more. And eventually people are going to see you more. Your content's going to get better. And we were mentioning earlier too, just like, you don't think you've done 8,000 anything. Well, eventually by 8,000 posts, you're going to have good and bad posts. Seth Godin goes out of his way to even say half of them are crap, probably. Like, he literally said that half of his posts are crap, because it's their practice. And over time, you're just going to get quality from the quantity. Roberto Blake, another one, just real quick, he says to do 100 videos before you even worry about quality, because over time, you're just going to get better anyways. And that's true. I felt that.
That is true. That is true. I think last time we talked, I hadn't mentioned this thing, but did I tell you about the pottery class, the word picture with the with pottery class, what you're talking about? You're frowning. I don't think I told you.
I'm thinking, maybe not. So feel free to say it again.
Well, it's the one where there was this art class, it was a pottery class, and the teacher divided the class into two halves, and they said, okay, this half of the class, I want you to make as many pots as you can for the entire semester, just any kind you want. Pots, 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 just make as many as you can, right? The other class, he said, I want you to work on perfecting a single pot. At the end of the semester, I'm going to judge your work and I'm going to see who did a better job. And those of us in the know, I mean, we're like, well, obviously we know what the answer is, who's going to have the better pot. But a lot of people that are not thinking in terms of how do I iterate? How do I get better? How do I, you know, get an MVP and say, how can I improve? How can I improve? They think it was the team B pot that was the better one. And it's like, no, actually the people that just made all kinds of pots, just pots, 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 they ended up with the better result because they got to try things, they got to experiment and see what works and what doesn't. They have many, many, many data points as opposed to, okay, we can do all kinds of research and figure out what's the best thing and do, and then it kind of falls flat. And that's a lot of it, you know, with building a business, entrepreneurship, it's like that. It's experimentation.
Well, we definitely talked a lot about experimentation. I told you I went through all 11,000 plugins on WordPress just to see which ones will work. I didn't download them all, obviously, but I checked them all. Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned pottery. I heard that story as a study, like a scientific study for a photography class. So
You
I didn't
did?
hear pottery. I heard it as a photography, but I mean, same principle, same thing. And again, it's all about, it's interesting how you say pottery and I heard photography. So I'm curious to see where that dissonance lies. But it is
It's
interesting.
got a different etymology. It depends on what kinds of artists you're trying to talk to.
Yeah, just change it to whoever you're talking to. I mean, that's good communication skills. It's code switching, as they would say. Iterating is a big thing, and I've definitely iterated a lot over my journey. And it's just interesting how I tried multiple different platforms for my blog. I've tried multiple different platforms for my videos, even. I was literally looking at blockchain video platforms that are a replacement of YouTube, because I do think in the future, I'm very future centric, and I think that a lot of these platforms that we're used to, like YouTube, that are so prominent, or like even Facebook and Twitter, they're going to die out. I honestly think they're going to, because we're going to get into the point of decentralization. So all these blockchain-based platforms are going to replace them at some point, at least in some capacity. So that's a little prediction that your audience can have that they might like.
Well, you're probably pretty accurate because you know your stuff. Like, how would that work? I'm curious because I don't understand blockchain near as much as I probably should.
Yeah, I mean, your computer science background, so you might have a better chance of understanding it than I would, but I definitely did a little bit of research in it because I was curious. It is an interesting platform. I don't want to get into the technology because I'm not well over I'm not well describing it super much, but I will say the actual platforms are interesting because it's no longer a centralized organization controlling the platform. So we had issues with YouTube with Adpocalypse, where a whole bunch of advertisers left the platform, which screwed over many of the creators. In fact, I was doing research on what's his name? It's not Mr. Beast, David Dobrik, who is a prolific content creator. He's been creating content since Vine, and I was on Vine. I saw him on Vine, and he's been around kicking since then. Like he popped off back then, so 2008, something like that. And it was interesting how he was making like 200,000 a video essentially from AdSense, and then Adpocalypse hit and it went down to 2,000.
Oh my
And
goodness.
mind you, he has like 15 million subscribers on YouTube, and so. It's granted because it's his content's no his not is no longer child friendly kind of thing or advertiser friendly, and so because he makes content for adults that are a little bit more violent or something like that. Like he just makes things that are like pranks, or maybe he does like he married his best friend's mom so that he could become his stepdad. That was one of the videos. Like it's insane the things he does, and he'll buy his friend's Ferraris. Like that's his videos. So like it's not advertiser friendly per se, so that's why he lost his income that way. But it is interesting how that one movement, because it was a centralized platform, caused him to lose all of his income. Whereas it was decentralized, the advertisers wouldn't have as much control over who they get to be on, that kind of thing. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what sort of things that blockchain could produce.
It would be, and just from an advertising standpoint, I wonder if people would get in on that. I mean, if they don't have control over what videos they show up on, then Like, well, and, would they want to be on there? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I could be wrong about that particular detail. I don't want to necessarily say too much on that, because I think that I could just be wrong about how advertising works on blockchain platforms. But who would get the advertising? How would that work? Logistics wise, I'm curious. But the thing is, with blockchain platforms, they have cryptocurrency. So you don't actually need advertisers to make income. Just by watching a video, some platforms will give you cryptocurrency. And then by making a video, you can get cryptocurrency. If people like your video, you can get cryptocurrency. And these are very small fractions, but they do add up.
Yeah.
And it is interesting too, that there is a separate monetary option on these platforms that are more influence based. So the more videos you create that are quality and people like it, you'll start getting influence as well. And that kind of, so instead of having like a central authority, every creator is an authority on the platform. So David Dobrik would be the boss on that platform versus YouTube and Google. So it's interesting how it builds up the individual, and how each individual is now building up kind of like a decentralized community, democratic in a way.
Very, very cool. It seems like it might be a little bit more immune to gaming the algorithm, but then that's also theoretical. And, you know, the two of us that don't know a whole lot about this, we probably ought to, you know, we're going to get ourselves in trouble, man.
Yeah. Blockchain experts. I mean, I've talked to a lot of experts on blockchain, and I think I understand it well enough to actually talk about it, because all I'm talking about is the social networks. I'm not talking about ICOs and all the different types of like Ethereum versus all the other altcoins and stuff like that. I'm not talking about things that are going to make people mad per se.
Right. We know just enough to be dangerous to ourselves, to ourselves.
Well, that goes into polymathy too, real quick. I would just say, like, polymaths are interested in many different things. And some of them are going to be, I'm an expert, I would say, in content creation as well as swimming and fitness, but I'm not necessarily an expert on traditional marketing or running a big corporation kind of thing. I'm not going to be talking about those kind of things. But when it comes to this content creation on social networks that are built on the blockchain or within my purview. And so I would say that because of my interest in content creation, I was able to dig into that curiosity. And that's kind of the polymathic approach. And I just wanted to share that real quick.
Cool. Cool. Well, do you have any sage advice for people if they're already on their entrepreneurial journey, or maybe they're just starting out? Like, what could you share with them? Oh, man, he's powering up. Here he comes.
Whenever you're creating content or creating a business, they're both the same. They're your baby. And how you nurture that baby, how you train it, how you teach it, and how you build it up over their life is very important. And so again, with the habits we mentioned earlier, the habits that you have, if you are not taking care of your sleep and not taking care of your health, you're not going to have enough energy to take care of that baby. And so that's something we were alluding to earlier, as well as sometimes you just have to grind it out. You do have to push through it too. Sometimes I've been creating content since 2012, but I haven't been making much of a wave until recent years because I was able to connect and network with people. So that's another lesson there, network. So habits, network, and finally, I would say, is just keep pushing through it. Like, create 100 pieces of content, like Roberto Blake says. You have to create enough to actually know what you're going to do. And I say content, but that also could mean products. Keep creating products. Keep iterating. Keep trying to make that MVP even better. And then eventually, you'll have enough to actually build off of down the line.
Cool. Always be creating. ABC.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, man. Well, it's been awesome chatting with you again, and I'm having fun talking with you, man. I think you're a cool guy, and I think I've got a lot to learn. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I hope we can mutually learn from each other in the coming weeks and months. How would people track you down? Like, how would they find you if they wanted to talk with you further about this?
For sure. You can find me on pretty much any platform at PolyInnovator, but then you could also go to polyinnovator.space, which is my website. And we were talking about this before, but I had just remade it. And so I've been putting on a ton of content on there, just cranking it out. So there's a ton of things to explore. I'm excited to actually be transcribing my interviews as well, to have content on there. I think you'll enjoy it. Speaking of interviews, we talked about having you on my show. So we'll be able to keep this conversation going so people can look forward to that.
Yep. And I have an action item on my to-do list. That's how I form habits. I will be reached out to get on your show. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome, man. Well, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to catching up with you at a later time. All right, man.
Sounds good. Peace out.
All right. All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes, yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had, or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.